today's guests, Aaron Melberg, as well as Ruben Ryan. Musical guests. Oh, damn it, there's a spider in here. And your hosts, Johnny Trowbridge and Mike Calhoun.
Ahoy.
Get out of here.
And welcome aboard.
Go directly to jail.
That's totally the new thing. That is the new thing, and I have established it. It doesn't matter how hokey it sounds.
You're right.
Welcome, internet people.
Do like it a little bit.
It's coming. You're coming around to it.
I'm coming around to it.
It only happens once a week.
I just want you to wear one of those white naval shirts with way too many buttons.
Yeah. I mean, then we can just, you know, poke a hole in the sub, and then I'll go down with the ship.
What?
It's the only time I imagine wearing that, you know, is when the ship's going
down. I imagine you greeting the new people onto this boat.
Welcome aboard. We're going down.
Welcome aboard Fantasy Island.
Speaking of which, they're making a second Titanic. Have you heard about this? They're building Titanic 2. Well, first of all, it's funny because Titanic 2 is a movie, and it's a horrible movie. Well, but they're building a replica. What's that?
Is it James Cameron?
I wish. I wish he had made Titanic 2. What kind of nonsense would that be if he like tried to make an earnest movie about something that never happened?
I would like it. What about Avatar?
That is a very earnest movie about something that never happened. That's true. I didn't like it though. So
I didn't love it either.
I guess it works out. I don't know. I guess it's going to be like a replica just for luxury cruises. I tell you what, I'm not superstitious, but I ain't getting my fucking putting feet on that.
We're going on that.
No, we're
selling tickets to go on that. Yeah,
that's how we're going to fund our future projects.
That's right.
How have you been, my friend?
I've been quite well. I've just been, you know, poopsing around.
Poopsing around.
Poopsing around.
As you do.
I bought yesterday my wedding ring.
Oh! Why didn't you buy your wife one?
I didn't care.
Oh.
No, I'm joking.
Forget her.
I bought hers first. No. Mine is tungsten with a little bit of
copper. Are you guys getting
copper.
Ones that don't look the same?
No, why would we get the same looking ones? That's ridiculous,
Everyone
Calhoun.
People get wedding bands that look identical all the time.
What they do. I don't know.
Dude, wait a minute. How did you not know this? People have wedding bands that look identical.
I don't know anyone who
does. I'm pretty sure
that
was the tradition for years.
I don't know anyone who does that.
Okay, so it's tungsten. That's cool, bro.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I think you could turn on a light bulb with that or something. Is that
Are
that
you
works?
Kidding me? No! Tungsten is a shade of light. Oh, good lord. You can turn on a light bulb with that.
Yeah, you just hook it up with two different battery nodes or whatever you call those. Turn on a light
bulb.
Wow,
man. You are so scientific. I'm glad I assigned you as the scientist on board.
I'm like that guy on Facebook who's like, I really like Tesla. Or like, you know what I'm like talking about.
Doesn't know anything about science. Oh, man. I've been tired. As you noticed, I'm drinking a Coca-Cola.
Ugh. Filth.
I've been just falling asleep on the way to and from work every day.
That's dangerous.
Like the last week.
It's
like
driving junk.
Yeah, driving junk. Has just,
like
what,
driving
that's
junk.
What I call my car.
Which is basically dangerous, too.
That's what we call piloting the ship as well.
That's kind
of. Hey.
Nice. This is a nice sub.
It is nice.
How dare you?
We should take pictures of it sometime.
No.
People don't even know what it looks like. We just describe it to them, and then people just take
like
it on faith.
It's kind of like, you know, cucumbers.
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
It's like the inside of it. It's solid on the inside.
Yeah.
It's solid on the inside.
I don't think we need to describe it
anymore.
It's
not a lot of space to move is what we're saying. Oh, boy. All right. Thank you, guys. Welcome to the Unbelievables, episode 42 now.
Jeez.
We're coming up on a year.
Wait, isn't that the one that's the solution to all problems, 42?
Oh, you are right. That's a reference to the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah, autobiography.
Of whom?
Me, obviously. That's what autobiography is.
I had no idea. Well, welcome back from space.
Thanks.
Today we've got two guests, and I'm going to say their names
simultaneously.
What? All right, here we go. We have to now. It's been proposed.
Do it.
Hindenburg.
Did you say Hindenburg?
I did. It's good. Ruben Ryan and Aaron Melberg.
Bonjour. Hello. Hello.
I've said your names. Now you must speak.
Yay.
Konbanwa gozaimasu.
Oh, my God.
If you want to relax, as I see you guys scooch towards the microphones. You can move the microphone arm towards you.
Nonsense.
He doesn't believe it.
I refuse.
Actually, yours is broken. Don't touch it. Don't you? Don't even look at it. Don't look at it. No.
What are you doing?
Can I gently caress it?
He touched it.
That's all you can do.
Hello.
Well, now it's broken. We have to get a new one. Well, but then, welcome, my guests. How are you guys?
Doing all right.
Doing just all right?
Yeah.
You as well? Yeah. Hanging in there. Like that little cat on that little meme.
Hanging in there like Leonardo DiCaprio was hanging onto the side of
that
the door.
Oh, man.
And
that door that was just a little bit too small.
I got bad news for you, Aaron. He doesn't make it.
Why would you do that?
Hey, maybe he comes back in Titanic 2.
If we had filmed this, what am I talking about?
We might be filming. Who knows?
You don't know.
No one knows.
If we had done this like a year and a half ago, I would have never have seen the Titanic.
Wow. Only recently saw the Titanic?
Yes.
I'll be honest. I've only seen parts of the Titanic. I catch it like on television.
In your dreams?
It'll be on television and someone else will be watching it. And I'll just like pick up pieces of the movie at a time.
Boat movie.
Boat
with the boobs in the middle of it. Tell me when that part comes up. I have to leave the room. I'm not allowed to see it. My mom says that's actually what happened.
Apparently, they've actually proven that there was room for him on that door, like some students or whatnot. Like,
did they do that on MythBusters?
You know what? I don't need to do much to convince me that there was room on that door.
I think James Cameron is angry that people are trying to debunk this. Like, he's like, no, it wouldn't have floated. They both would have gotten really cold. And it's like she was already wet. I'm pretty sure most of those people would have died of hypothermia.
What's he complaining about? He changed numerous of those historical figures. Total character background.
That's true.
Yeah, you're right.
If you watch closely, though, you can see her push him away and drown him.
No, he was already dead, Johnny.
She's like holding out her hand, but you don't see she's actually like flicking his hand off of hers.
Let it be known that Rose actually was the murderer
of execution Jack. And in mid ocean execution.
That's why she drops the thing into the ocean because it's evidence.
I must prevent the man in the iron mask from happening in the ocean.
She's basically the Kaiser Soze of the Titanic.
Soze. What finally made you watch the movie, Aaron? Did someone force you? Like, did someone get appalled that you hadn't seen it and like we're sitting and watching it?
Let me tell you how many countless people have been appalled.
Countless
that I have not watched.
Everyone you
tried to count them.
Everybody was like, Aaron, why didn't you go and cry your eyes out in middle school 100 times like all of your friends did?
Yeah.
And that sounds like a terrible time. I'm going to be honest. That sounds like an awful time.
Crying your eyes out is not fun.
And quite frankly, World War II ships were way better anyways. So they didn't have cannons on it, and I wasn't interested. I needed firepower.
You're right.
There weren't any cannons on there.
Pirate ships are cooler than the Titanic.
Submarines.
Right.
True.
Thank you.
Torpedoes are kind of like cannons.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's a bunch of conspiracy theories about the Titanic sinking. One of which is the fact that it was actually swapped with another ship. Like there was another ship that was similar in design to the Titanic, and they actually swapped them out at the last minute for insurance purposes because the other ship had already been damaged. And that's one of the conspiracy theories.
This is amazing.
This is a great theory.
The other conspiracy theory is that it was sunk on purpose because a couple of the people who died on it were extremely important bankers who were actually opposed to the giant global bank system that was going on.
Sounds like some deep.
So in a way, that was a victory for the conspiracy theorists.
The Illuminati is everywhere.
That's
all there is.
That's all I got from that.
Conspiracy theorists usually are saying that the global elites are the ones out to get you, but in that story, they actually got them back.
Well, no.
The global elite, small victory.
They killed the ones that were trying to help.
They killed the bankers who were in their way.
Oh, I understand.
No.
So, this does fit their narrative. You're totally right.
You're getting this all wrong. Everything is hopeless.
I mean, if you watch enough conspiracy theories, it feels like everything is hopeless.
There you go.
I loved the recent one with JonBenet Ramsey isn't dead, but she's actually Katy Perry.
I like that one.
It was a great one.
I did not know about that one until I was in a sketch show. and someone, and that was a line in the sketch show, and I literally just thought it was nonsense they had made up for that part.
And you thought they were a genius?
No, I just thought, I thought they were trying to come up, because like the whole idea was it was a sheep who was saying like random conspiracy theories, and I just thought that was like, oh, that's the funny made up one. Mm-hmm. And then I found out it was real. I'm like, oh my God.
Hey, you wouldn't do well on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire when it comes to, when that one pops up.
That's
and
right.
It's a fake one.
But that
it's
happens.
Real. It's totally real.
Yeah, that random bit of trivia I'll have to know.
Ruben, you are an improviser,
mm-hmm.
But you said you were in a sketch show, so you do some sketch as well?
I do a little bit of everything. I was asked to do a sketch show up at the JFK Theater they got in the basement of Playhouse Square or whatnot.
Ford's Theater?
I am not.
No, it's called like the John F. Kennedy Theater. I don't know. It's a black box.
Okay.
But a friend of mine invited me out there to do that. It was a cool show. I think the sketches are on YouTube.
So they asked you to be a part of the sketch show, so you hadn't rehearsed prior.
Yeah, I did not rehearse prior. Well, no, I mean, I did. They called me in, and I went to a few rehearsals before the actual thing went on. That was a lot of fun. But I also do improv in Cuyahoga Falls with Point of No Return.
I know about them.
Yeah, no, they're great people.
Because I think you guys have a website, right?
We do, yes.
Yeah.
PNRimprov.org.
Wow.
Nice. I also do improv at the Beck Center with Something Dada, and I do long-form improv in Akron with Just Go With It.
I'm glad that you're keeping Dada alive past the 60s.
Well, I don't...
When was Dada like
Dadaism
like a film?
Dadaism was the 1920s. I actually went to school.
But there was a film movement that was like Dada film.
Oh, yeah, Dada's 1920s dingus.
But I'm talking about...
It came out of World War One. It was essentially... After World War One, there were essentially two major postmodernist art movements. They were the futurists who were basically fascists. And then... I'm not even kidding. Like, they aligned themselves with the fascist party in Italy, and their theories were extremely fascist-based in terms of art, like... they didn't believe in having long plays, that everything had to be short because it had to be quick and to the point. And the whole point was to sort of undermine establishment things like education and libraries and
interesting
and art museums. And then there were the Dadaists who were just basically anarchists. They had seen what happened during World War One, and they were like, all of this. I'm sorry, I should have asked if I'm allowed to swear.
Please swear
okay,
as much as
so they were like,
possible.
Fuck all of this. We're just going to make anti-art, art that offends people intentionally. And they actually, they would put on their shows, and people would just riot and like tear up the seats and burn down the theaters.
My good God.
Yeah, no. One of their more famous pieces is a woman on a sewing machine versus a woman on a typewriter. And the whole idea, it was like a race, which one could sew, which one could type faster, and whichever one won got a mustache at the end. And that was the sketch.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
That'd go over really well nowadays.
Yeah.
Be like, okay.
I know. What would be the two opposing things? Like, what would we make? I guess women. I guess we make a woman do to compete with another woman on stage. I don't know. I don't even know. Like, what
you
we
can't. You can't.
You can't make women do anything anymore.
No. Wait, what?
That'd be an interesting art installation, though, like a modern-day equivalent of that. I'm just trying to think of like what it would be.
Make people sew and type all
the closest thing,
same
great.
Thing, yeah.
I
yeah,
mean, the closest
so
thing
type.
To what the closest thing to what the Dadaists did actually would be like Jackass. Jackass is very everything that Jackass does. It's very Dadaistic. It's very
well. Like, yeah, the skater movement was really like a rebellious, you know, mm-hmm. young people movement. Yeah, you're totally right.
Just a bunch of stupid sketches and stunts and pranks that were designed to like make people go, "What the fuck?"
Right. So that's kind of like what that improv group kind of like focuses on. Or
I mean, Dada at the Beck. No, Dada at the Beck Center is just named that way. They do.
I see.
They do basic short form improv.
Hell yeah.
They're actually. They're like, Dada is technically the premier improv troupe in the Northeast Ohio area. They've been around for 22 years.
Wow.
Damn. Damn. Yeah.
A lot of legacy members or something?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they got some people there.
Nice.
Or whatnot.
That's great. Well, where do you guys normally perform there with that group?
Well, normally we do short form sets. I believe... Oh, damn it. What a time to not have their schedule on me.
At the break, we can look it up.
Okay. It's on their Facebook, I'm certain.
Great. Yeah, we'll direct people there, too.
All right, cool. And also, Planet on Return. And we actually have shows for Just Go if it's scheduled at Jilly's in Akron coming up.
Hey, we have a whole plug section.
Okay.
So when we get there.
Sorry.
No, I'm saying fret not.
Okay.
We'll be able to cover all of it.
Don't worry.
So we'll be able to look. We'll have time to look it up, and then you can get all the dates, and then you won't be like.
There's a cool intro.
This show is happening every day. Just show up and ask.
Tickets. I mean, oh my God! Sometimes it does feel like the shows are happening every day because
they do. They totally do.
Like I literally, I'm kind of like he was saying before. Before
he's, for the listener. Ruben is pointing at Aaron.
Yes,
he's pointing at the ceiling.
Aggressively, Aaron. I might add. I feel offended now. What the hell?
Whoa. He might, Oh,
point with two fingers.
I'm so angry.
But yeah, because like before we started recording, Aaron mentioned the fact that he rarely ever leaves the house. But like I've noticed the fact that I only leave the house to go to work or a show of some kind.
I feel the same way. I totally understand.
Like,
because Aaron, you said, you straight up said, why? Why would I go anywhere?
Sounds horrible.
Well, you got stuff going on at the house.
What am I
going
to do? Interact with the stains on the underwear of society?
Oh, God.
Aaron, tell me how you feel about people.
Well, it's a deep subject, but...
Please. We get so deep on this show.
You know, people are dumb.
Sometimes they are.
Most of them.
Most of the time
most
they are.
Most of the time, all of them are.
And this is just, how long are we going to be here for? Like, do we have 12 hours
to go over this?
We're
only going to be here for another 10 minutes.
Just people don't think outside of the realms of their own consciousness.
And you don't think outside the realm of your own home. So maybe you guys would get along.
Yeah, that sounds like you would get along with everyone.
Sounds like a bad idea.
Sounds unsafe.
What have you been up to lately,
like I
though?
Chainmail for that.
Yeah, tell us more about the
luckily,
chainmail.
He did. Yeah, that is another off-mic conversation. You showing off a little bit of your mastercraft here.
Well, I don't know about mastercraft, but I do make chainmail for fun. And no, I don't like I'm not the asshole that sends you emails. Like,
wait,
I've gotten that before. Like,
okay.
Zing. Zip zap.
The majority of people that are like, you make chainmail, like, so you're responsible for my junk mailbox?
I kind of wish you did, though. Now, like, you drafted the first chainmail ever.
I have to ask, are those people making a joke, or are they serious?
Dead serious.
So it's now like I know why you don't talk to people. Okay.
So it's like they've never heard of chainmail before. It's like, have they never gone? I don't know. What you learn about the Middle Ages in like sixth grade, right?
I mean, you don't add armor onto it, and people automatically assume that you're some scumbag trying to grab their Facebook account.
Yeah. Why would anyone admit to being like, I make all the chainmail in the world?
It's sort of like. That theory that people aren't going to know what the symbols on phones are anymore. Like the save symbol is a floppy disk, and the phone to answer the phone is it like a handheld, like a receiver from an old rotary phone. And people aren't going to know what those symbols are. They're just going to assume what they're related to.
Now, to be fair, though, I've read some of the articles about that, and some of those people think that millennials are younger than they are.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm technically a millennial, and I read, like, I forget if it was Rolling Stone or Entertainment Weekly's, like, things millennials aren't going to understand, or aren't going to, or things millennials missed out on. And, like, literally, I go through lists, and I was like, I grew up with all of these.
Yeah, right?
I have seen Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego. This is bullshit.
I own Transformers robots, guys. I know what what these are.
The whole thing about millennials don't even exist because people can't even agree on what times they are around.
Well, no, there is actually. It's 1980 to 2000.
That's technically what it is. Yeah. And then after 2000, I don't know what they're calling them now, but.
They are Gen Y.
Gen Y was the placeholder for millennials.
Yeah. They call it Gen X, Gen Y. They call it a bunch of stuff.
And then Gen Y got replaced by the term millennial.
Yeah.
Millennial. I was told recently by one, because I know a 20-year-old, and they told me what they are.
And what was it?
I don't remember. Maybe they're Gen Z.
Wait a minute. 20 years old.
20-year-old, they'd still be a millennial.
They would still be a millennial.
They're just trying to escape the construct.
They were
born
in 90...
Yeah, no. If it's born in the 90s, they're still millennials. It's
what? No.
It's 1980 to 2000.
Yep. 1980 to 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah, because my boss was like... keeps on always harps on me for like, you'd be like, you're such a millennial. And then I was like, wait, let's look something up real quick. And then he's like, born in 1981. And I'm like, you're a millennial.
Like, that's like,
what an asshole.
I know.
That's
I
a lot of people, though. That's a lot of people. A lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
Who I talk
too
to
many,
about
in my opinion.
Like, people don't
get rid of a few.
People don't realize that if
thank you,
that most people who complain about millennials are probably millennials.
Let's just, you know, the first 5 years, tail, and then the last 5 years, just eliminate those guys. Why not?
Wait, what?
I'm on 91. I'm safe. I'm 91. I'm safe.
Okay.
We talk a lot about killing people on this show.
Yeah, you do.
But we've never done it.
That's good. That's
damn
the line.
Shame.
That's yeah. the line.
That's the line
you
we,
can talk
we try not to cross.
You can talk about it, but
you
until...
You can't even talk about it anymore.
Well, that's... I mean, that is true.
I'll talk
Aaron
about it.
Aaron sounds salty. He sounds like he wants to.
Yeah,
it's
bullshit.
Like, I just try to talk about it all the time. People are like, don't talk about it.
Well, I mean, there's always that fear that one of your listeners is going to be like, they said those people should die, so I'm going to get a gun and I'm going to go out and do it for them.
If someone actually did that, I don't think it would be our fault.
That is actually the plot line to a Robin Williams movie called The Fisher King.
Oh, I've heard of it.
Interesting.
It's actually a really good movie.
When does it take place, though?
It's like the early 90s.
So I'm assuming it's more of a radio show.
Yeah, it is. Okay. Like Jeff Bridges plays Jeff Bridges plays like a radio shock jock.
Okay.
And like a guy who I think is played by David Hyde Pierce goes out and shoots some people in a restaurant because there's someone that he was calling phonies on the radio.
Wow.
And
now real life has mimicked that with the whole pizza shop thing.
Oh, yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah. And one of those people who gets shot is actually Robin Williams' wife, and he has, like, a mental breakdown, and then his and Jeff Bridges' paths cross, and they, like, have this whole thing.
Oh, my
Isn't it based on, like, King Arthur? There's a little bit of
King Arthur. Yeah, there's some King Arthur mythology, and it's actually a pretty good movie.
I heard it was pretty good.
I like Robin Williams in drama roles.
Yeah.
I think he was a great actor.
I like him in roles where he... is in a board game.
Yeah, I agree. I would agree.
His board game roles
his
are
board
really
game
good.
Roles have been spectacular.
Top of the line, really.
Yeah, really, like at the very
or
top.
Or when he's just wax. You ever see those movies where he's just a wax figure?
Where he's a wax figure.
those are one of my favorites.
Yeah, you know what? I also enjoy any role, any movie that he's not in and he doesn't speak.
Yeah.
I enjoy those roles too.
Oh, you like those movies?
It's like you didn't even notice he was there.
Really? I like the movies
really
where he's
something.
Like where he's really blue. I love those movies.
Yeah.
Not just like emotionally. I mean like the color blue.
He is the color blue.
I do like
those
movies.
I like those movies where he plays a creepy psychopath and then
so all of the movies.
And then and then what?
And then he steals everyone's photos and he's
that's my favorite role actually. I've changed my mind, Johnny.
Oh, I'm sorry.
1 hour.
Sorry. I'm sorry to have not changed your mind.
I forgive you.
1 hour photo. Thank you. You like 1 hour photo?
I've never seen 1 hour photo.
Oh, I've heard about that.
It's a good movie.
But I've heard its name. Let's just go around and name movies.
Okay.
Castlevania. Nope, failed.
Is that even a movie?
Nope.
All right, game over. Johnny loses.
Oh, wow. It was a fun game, though.
Aaron, you regularly have a Twitch stream.
I do.
And the name of it is...
Isn't
it Lucy?
How do you spell that?
Brown cow. Yes, my.
How
my,
now, brown
how
cow?
Now brown cow. The arsonist had oddly shaped feet.
You're just doing your vocal exercises.
I am.
Hey, Aaron, we're already recording. You can keep going.
No.
The human torch was denied a bank loan.
yes, my Twitch and Beam. I'm streaming to Beam now.
What is Beam?
Oh, that's that thing with Casey Neistat did that.
Okay.
Excuse me?
Casey Neistat, he started that?
He's just a vlogger.
He's the guy who started Beam.
Rude? Why didn't I know this?
Why is that rude? Am I rude?
Yeah, I'm sorry for informing you. We really should have called you up and done it from a distance.
I'm such a scrub. Oh man. The gaming terminology is going to be strong here tonight. So
I haven't used the term scrub since Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
Well, guess what? It's back.
Hell
they're
yeah!
Back in World War II now. So.
Welcome back.
Oh yeah, that's
Scrubs.
We finally made it. The full circle. We're back in World War II.
They exhausted all of the options.
They're like
in the future.
Yeah, people don't like future war apparently.
Yeah,
people don't like the old war either.
People don't realize this, but
well, I think people liked Battlefield 1. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, people don't know this, but video games predict the world. So like they've run out of future games, which means no more future. It's going to end soon.
Or it just means that war is going to end. Because they're
don't
all
get that hippy dippy shit out of here.
Hey,
wars forever.
We don't like positivity.
Don't you ever read actually, the conspiracy?
That, what a beautiful world that would be. Mm-hmm. Well, but I think unfortunately, the last Call of Duty is like in the 2100s.
Correct.
But still, that's optimistic.
It is.
That's true.
That's we've optimistic. At least got 100 years like before the world implodes on
I don't
itself.
Know. Does it implode yeah. on itself in that one? I don't know. I didn't play it.
I don't know. Ruben, I didn't play any of those games.
I was not
the shooting
a fan.
Mechanics
maybe,
are terrible.
Maybe war ends because there's no more human beings.
Oh.
Ruben, what kind of disgusting can of worms have you opened here?
Ruben,
it's what I do.
Why are you so depressed?
It's what I do. I'll tell you why I'm depressed.
A second can of worms has been opened.
He opened that one.
But that's true. I just have a line of worms.
It's just get the fucking worms out of here.
The last
man.
Call of Duty I played was Black Ops 2.
Oh, that one's pretty good.
I believe I skipped that one.
I think there's some guns in there.
Yeah.
Guns,
definitely
maybe some people.
Knives, maybe.
I'm sure there's some aircraft.
I like Black Ops.
Aircraft.
I like Black Ops 1 a little bit more just because the story was like covert ops and conspiracy theory stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But then like the second one, it's just like, nope, you're going to kill brown people again. And it's
oh, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't mixed with history sort of thing.
No, it takes place like slightly in the future. Just so the technology is a little bit better than now.
What was what's the one where they're around the table and they do the Russian roulette? Which one's that one?
Oh, I don't remember.
Is that the Black Ops 1?
I think it's Black Ops as well.
Really that was a good scene.
Niche scene that you remembered there. You
that was a good scene.
That well, one
was,
out of the data
I liked
bank.
That scene because now I'm every time I'm thinking, I'm like, dude, if I ever get in a situation, which I know I will get in a situation where I'm in a Russian roulette. And I would just do what he did and scream and then shoot the guy. That's what he does in the thing. And I'm like, that's exactly what I would do. That's such a smart idea.
Is the screaming necessary?
Well, he does it. He like puts it up in his head and then yells and then doesn't shoot himself. He shoots the dude who's standing right beside him. And then that's
you have a one like. In you now, have a 1 in 6 chance of succeeding.
I was gonna say, what happens if you do that and you point it to the guy's head and it just goes click and then you're like. Okay.
You're going to die anyway.
And then you go, ha-ha, it was a joke. I knew it wouldn't kill you. And then they fucking unload on you.
Well, I don't know.
What sort of games do you stream? I know, but the listener would love to do.
Oh, my. On Lucid Streams, my handle is Lucid.
Nice.
And I figured I'd play some words on there.
Your reference.
I like it.
So I've been playing. I switched over to playing fighting games quite a while ago, and so I've been playing the worst fighting game ever, Street Fighter V.
Is that really, or is that just a hot take?
No, it's pretty awful.
I imagine there is some like old PS1 like knockoff Dragon Ball Z 2D fighting games that might be pretty bad, but maybe they might be better.
I don't know. I played Mortal Kombat for the Game Boy. That's a waste of your time.
Ooh, Pit Fighter was a good one. Clay Fighter.
What's Clay Fighter like?
Did you not play Clay Fighter
I
for
never
the 64?
Had. Please tell me about it.
There's not a whole lot to tell. it was claymation, and it was really awful.
Pull the mic just a little bit closer to you, because I'm losing you here.
Sensual.
There we go. Yeah.
we want to get real. We
want to get intimate.
The audience, the listener doesn't see this, but this is actually in the shape of a dildo. So
Only yours.
It's good, yes.
It's also
only
purple.
Mine. It's purple,
It's strangely short, but very thick.
Yeah, it's a chode
girth
dildo.
Audio Technica, you've done us well today.
Don't say their name.
Yeah.
You won't get their money.
Wait, as long as you don't say it 2 additional times, we won't summon their demon.
That's right.
And they'll try and sell us some new products.
Wait, God.
That sounds good.
I'm not going to buy it at retail.
We won't have that happen anyways. I didn't bring my D20, so we're good.
Oh, good.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Roll for initiative.
I love this table already.
You always say that, but I feel like you've never actually said that in the situation
that
we require.
I haven't, and I will not. I. That's the sad thing.
We've actually played D&D, wouldn't say it.
I wouldn't say it.
D&D's pretty dope.
Thank you, Ruben.
D&D's pretty dope.
That's a hot take. Aaron, have you also played D&D?
I have.
I think we, long time ago, for the listener, we've known each other for a little while. We used to work with each other at Big Bertha's Burrito Barn,
ooh,
as we like to call
it
here.
By the way, I really love that you took the tip
jar from
there. Dude,
this has been Forever. Oh, I love He's referring to an object that's on the table here in the sub, and I stole it from my previous job.
I approve.
Years ago. It's great.
If you could have gotten away with stealing more, you should have.
I did.
They stole so much more from you and me.
That's true. That's so true. As far as like personal life and your soul.
Yes, the soul is right very out. Much like Swiss cheese.
I took a ladle.
You took a ladle?
I took a ladle.
What'd you use it for?
Ladling? What else would I use?
Who knows? I took a tray and turned it into a Captain America shield.
I remember that. That was cool.
That was fun.
That was pretty freaking cool.
That was fun.
Remember that time? Wait.
Are we just going to play Nostalgia?
No, that's all right.
Roll for initiative.
What'd you get? Zero. Just a six. Somehow.
It's a six. Oh, it's a nine. Oh, oh, still bad.
Nice.
Okay, cool. Let's talk. We've opened the D&D can of worms, a third can of worms on the show. It's a record.
That's right.
Let's talk about it.
Okay.
You guys start.
Okay, D&D. Okay, I'll talk about D&D.
Tell us about D&D. See, I'll give a brief background. We haven't played actual Dungeons & Dragons. Oh, we've played...
A version of it.
What was it called? Darkness?
World of Darkness.
World of Darkness. I've never had a chance, but I've always been curious because vampires is awesome, werewolves is awesome.
Yeah, I was DM.
The gentleman here sitting next to me, my co-host, Johnny Trowbridge, was the dungeon master.
I was.
The game master.
I didn't think it went exactly. It's a lot harder than you think when you're desperate. You're like, I'll just make it up as I go. But like, no one wants to do what you wanted them to do. And you're like,
well, it's not like we can read your mind. You know, true. We can only do what our character.
I'll be like, there's a wall there. You can't go. And you'd be like, we climbed the wall. And I'm like, dang it.
Damn it. There's not a ceiling. Why didn't I think of this ahead of time?
Did you ever play Dungeon Master, Aaron?
I did not. I came up with a couple campaigns, but never had the balls to go through with them.
What? It doesn't take that much balls.
No, it really doesn't. But I had very hypercritical friends that.
Oh fuck them! Oh.
Yeah, no, they got super into Dungeons and Dragons. So like my one buddy Kyle, he played a dwarf, and his dwarf was banished from society because he was always drunk. And so his rule for himself while they were playing is that he had to pregame and be hammered drunk the entire 3-hour campaign every Sunday.
Oh my God. So are you implying this was a bad idea on his part? And did it hinder the game?
I'm not going to lie.
You know, it brought a lot of interesting stories.
Okay, I'm sure so it did. It's not necessarily bad.
No, not at all. But yeah, they did a lot of really weird things like that to get themselves into the game. I just wasn't prepared for it.
That feels more like your friend just has an alcohol problem. Well, and he's using it as an excuse to drink during the game.
Don't bring that up.
I think he and his family know that.
Oh, no.
He's
it's
good.
It's persistent.
He's good.
I think it's been years based on the way the story was told.
It has been. This was when I lived in Maryland, so over 10 years now.
Oh, wow.
Wow. So. Yeah, as far as we know, he still lives
Wait,
there.
How old are you?
I'm 29.
He's a billion years old.
I'm a billion.
1 billion. I don't think the audience knows my age.
And I know your age.
Stay that way.
Oh, sexy.
Thanks.
I'm sorry.
What about you, Ruben? You ever play a DM?
I have not been the DM for Dungeons and Dragons, but I did DM a game of Red Dwarf, the role playing game based on the British sci-fi show Red Dwarf. Yeah. If anyone's familiar with that,
I am unfamiliar. You'll have to briefly explain.
Okay, Red Dwarf is a sci-fi comedy series from Britain that follows the last man alive floating through deep space on a ship called Red Dwarf. His name is David Lister. His only companions are Rimmer, a hologram of his former roommate, who is also the most annoying man in the universe.
Okay. well, now.
The cat, a man who evolved from his pet cat over billions of years, and a robot named Crichton, as well as their computer companion, who is supposed to have an IQ of 6,000, but may be senile. It is.
So the TV show, how long did it last?
Oh, it's still going on.
What?
They just came out.
Wait, when did this start?
Show
begin?
It's like Doctor Who.
It started out in like the late 80s.
Okay.
And they did about 6 seasons, and then it went away for a while, and then they brought back a season 7, then did a season 8 and 9 right in did a season 7 and 8 right in succession to each other. Then they made a short. It was going to be a movie, but it ended up getting split into 3 episodes and being season 9. Then they did a season 10, and they just recently released a season 11 like last year.
So you said it was a comedy, right?
Yeah.
Are there like really prominent comedians that write for the show now that we might know?
I mean, I'm honestly, I don't know.
I'll have to look up, at the break, I'll have to look up the like the writers or the cast mm-hmm. and the directors and see if there's anyone of note. That's interesting.
I've watched a couple.
I mean, the guy who plays Rimmer was in the Tomb Raider movies. He played.
That's not much.
He was the pinnacle of cinematography. Well, I mean, right there.
They're primarily British actors. Okay, well, actually, the guy who played the cat was in Blade 2. The guy who played Rimmer was the butler in the two Tomb Raider movies.
Okay.
The guy who played Dave Lister used to be the host on Robot Wars.
Oh my god!
Oh my god! Yeah, that's a throwback.
Is that early 2000s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm actually not sure what the
back when G4 TV was a thing.
Oh god!
I mean,
forget about that.
Oh,
I loved me some G4.
Attack of the Show.
It's so sad that only like a few of those people from that network are even doing okay now. Some people are doing all right.
I miss
Olivia Munn.
She's doing fine.
There's a face there.
There's a face.
Married to another rich person, so she lucked out.
I miss the Japanese version of Ninja MXC. Warrior.
Yes.
The Japanese version is a lot better than the American version, in my opinion. I mean, the American version is still entertaining. But
you brought up, what was it called?
MXC.
MXC, because it's most extreme competition or whatever. Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's awesome. Excellent. Because that was some good improv, too. Like, that was like, you know, because I don't know if listeners of the show, if you're unaware, look up MXC.
It's hilarious.
But it's great. It's people dubbing over Japanese mm-hmm. commentators, I guess, and they're making up whatever they're saying on this show. It's amazing. They're dressed really like samurai, hitting each other with fans. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. It's really, yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, G4 is will be missed. Will be missed.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, a large portion of their programming was just Cops reruns, but still.
Yeah, they had no original. Well, it's because the people it's really interesting. I won't get into it. I read this thing somebody wrote up. It was about the rise and fall of G4 and like how it was just like shot out of the gun and then immediately died. And it's really interesting how they just didn't have original programming. So I won't bore you with that whole story, but it's interesting to read if you find it. Listener. But so that's a long way of saying you DM'd for this one role-playing game.
Sci-fi that's what we were talking about.
And
I did play a lot of Dungeons and Dragons, but I was never the DM, mainly because I actually my DM was Richard Harrison, who runs the Land of Make Believe, who is like the greatest DM ever.
Now plug where that is so people can go.
The Land of Make Believe is a toy store in Hudson, Ohio. You should totally check it out. They got tons of great board games and card games like Dominion and stuff.
What are the chances of me walking in there and suddenly being in a Land of Make-Believe for real?
Well, if Richard is there, pretty good.
He's like the gatekeeper.
He's like pretty. He's a pretty magical dude. I can't.
He's
lie.
Magical
that,
himself.
Been in that there. Would entail we've that you were there. The key master, though.
Yeah, that's the key point. I need to. I need them both.
Yeah.
Getting punny in here.
You went in there, though. You went in there
is
with
that the
me.
Place where it's in the basement?
It's not in the
basement.
Or it
was.
No. We went there because we were looking for magic cards. And then you remember we went there and were like, these magic cards are too expensive. And then we left.
Where?
It was in Hudson. Remember we were
okay,
walking around.
Okay, is this the store that
how many
upstairs
card stores are in Hudson? Like
several.
Really?
Yes.
The upstairs has changed a number of times. Right now, if you upstairs, there's a lot of soccer memorabilia.
Okay, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because I love soccer.
Yes.
As all these things may show, and scarves hanging around. That also qualifies.
Quite the tapestry.
Yeah.
Like, it's a great place to go if you really want to get soccer jerseys.
Yeah, that's apparently it's his brother.
Yeah, his brother
his
runs
brother
that.
His brother runs a soccer shop upstairs, but it's very casual. It's like it's open sometimes, and the only time it's open is when you ask the guy at the lower shop, hey, is it open? And he goes, I'll unlock it for you. It's very casual.
Yeah, no,
it's very Hudson.
Yeah, that part's very casual.
So do you live near? You don't have to tell us where you live, but you're within proximity of this place to go frequently.
Fairly decent distance.
Are there like tables to sit down at and play?
Not currently. They used to have card game tournaments in the basement,
okay.
But the audience for it sort of like grew up and stopped coming there.
Right.
Because they used to do Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh and Magic, but I guess that went out of style in Hudson somewhat. Even though they have started carrying Pokemon and Magic cards again.
Okay. See, that's rare because usually what happens is people run out of money as they stop being in high school.
Yep.
And so they can't afford to spend like $1,000 every 6 months on magic cards. Whereas in Hudson, they could blow all of the money that they want.
Well, there's a new one. Remember? We went and saw that new one in the basement?
That's gone.
That's gone already?
It's already gone.
They were moving, though.
Oh, they were moving.
They were moving their location. When we went there. Yeah. I mean, if they were gone, those places do come and go. Mm-hmm. But you're totally, it wasn't an exaggeration either, you saying $1,000 on magic cards, because that's approximately what people will spend.
That's what you spent.
When I lived out in Sandusky, I was like, I'm getting back into magic. And I bought 3 cases of boosters.
No!
My God.
3 cases.
For the listener, that's really expensive.
Yeah, that's very like $120 to $130 a case. And ended up with nothing, basically nothing to make a competitive deck at the time. And so then I had to like spend $200, $300, $400, $500 on individual cards, because you had to have 4 of these $150 cards in your deck at the time. Chase the Mind Sculptor.
For like,
oh God, you're one of the blue ones.
for like 10 minutes, I wanted to get back into Magic the Gathering. And then like I watched some people. It has changed a lot since I played it. And yes. Like I sat.
The people have stayed the same in that they're weird.
That's true.
I watched these guys play it, and like sudden, and like apparently now, if you can't win in like 5 moves, your deck is crap. Yes. And I'm like, What the fuck?
It's
this
real.
Game used to take hours. What is this?
Yeah.
I was briefly into Yu-Gi-Oh! In my youth, and then later, and I was just like, I have money now, and my friends are trying to teach me Magic the Gathering. I'm going to get back into Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yeah, makes sense.
And so I was a single, the only person amongst my friends that was into it, went to a tournament.
I played a game
with you. And it's just like basically, yeah, you did, but I'm saying like it's not like I was cultivating a culture and meeting with people and playing. But then I chose to go to a tournament, and it's like if you didn't draw your winning hand, it was done.
You're done.
Because, it's just like 4 moves, and then the game should be over. And so it was not fun. I did not enjoy my time.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I don't know why you'd want to play like that.
There's the EDH version where it takes a lot longer, but that's neither here nor there.
The alternative to this like five round win thing is that I played blue decks that milled you out. So my whole goal was to make you not have any more cards to draw. Mm-hmm. And so like you just shell like if I won, which rarely ever happened, by the way, because. Those aren't popular decks.
I'm playing some sophisticated music for our
very intelligent. When you use the blue deck.
Now, I kind of have a bone to pick with Yu-Gi-Oh.
You have to talk in a more sophisticated accent,
I
please.
I have a problem with Yu-Gi-Oh.
Oh, is that right?
Back in the day,
I'd love to hear it.
Yes?
I was getting into a card game called Magi Nation.
Magi
Nation was actually made by a group of people who broke off from Konami to form their own studio.
The Gaul.
Are those the people from Ceylon?
And it was a... Konami makes Yu-Gi-Oh.
How dare they?
And I got really into it, but then Yu-Gi-Oh came out right after it in America.
Oh,
Totally took the rug out from under it.
Oh, along the Silk Road. Did that come from the Silk Road?
Conquering the West, of course.
Yes, you know, with all the heroin.
I always told Marco Polo to keep it where he found it.
Only the best heroin for the Westerners.
Heroin and weeboos.
I feel like...
Weeboos and heroin. What can the West want more?
I feel like we're mixing references.
What year is this?
Tell us the year, of course, that this took place. In
1817.
When the Yu-Gi-Oh cards crossed into the West.
The first Yu-Gi-Oh card was real.
It was just a monster trapped inside a piece of paper. Had to be summoned with a spoken incantation. And we'll say it at the break. Welcome back to the Unbelievables. Actually, we are going to take a break in a few minutes, but we will be back with our guests, Aaron Melberg, Ruben Ryan, and I was going to say, I didn't want to say you were my guest, and my co-host, Johnny Trowbridge.
Thank you,
I am Mike Allen. We'll be right back in a few moments. Hang on!
Hi out there in lousy weather media network land. Do you hate stuff?
I hate stuff.
I know you hate stuff. I'm trying to figure out if the listeners out there...
Do you hate stuff? You listening right now, do you hate stuff? There's got to be something you hate.
Well, some of those things might match up with some of the things we talk about on Let the Hate Flow Through You, a podcast done by me, Jeremy Shear, and El Hordano Diablo.
That's me.
Yeah, he's late on the cues, but he's a firebrand.
But quick on the brews.
Quick on the he is. He's got a drinking problem, and I hate it.
And Jeremy hates it.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate your drinking problem.
That's fine.
I hate your fat belly.
You love that.
Okay, that's true. I do love his fat belly.
But he hates me.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
We'll get into that on Let the Hate Flow Through You, which we release every Monday.
Because everybody hates Mondays.
I really fucking hate you.
I hate you too.
Goddamn Garfield-ass motherfucker.
I hate recording commercials. I'm done.
Hey, welcome to InfoWars. This is Alex Jones. I got a story today that we're going to expose to you today.
The worship of the bird gods.
Bird gods. Not a lot of people are talking about this.
No one.
Which means it's a big mainstream media blackout.
That's right.
It's a problem. How many of you have shopped at Giant Eagle?
Yes, I've shopped there.
I've shopped there, too.
I didn't know better.
I thought it was fine. I got pudding there.
Yep. Lots of pudding.
I'm a big fan of pudding.
That's right. You sit in a tub full of pudding. I forgot.
I got. Yeah, that's how I stay young. I got a jar of pickles there one time.
Oh, I forgot. You sit in a tub full of pickles.
I had to. I'm sitting in my takes a lot of pickles. Fill up a tub. Let me tell you. That's for another story. So, I go in there. And I see a trail of blood leading out into the parking lot.
Oh, my God.
And I go to investigate it, and I lean down, and I have a taste of the blood. And it's unmistakably giant eagle blood.
Are they worshiping them, or are they killing them?
It looks like it was on the hunt at that giant eagle location.
Yeah.
And it was in a fight.
Yes.
And it lost a little blood.
Yes.
But its victim... nowhere to be found.
I bet you I know what that victim was.
Tell me.
The white man.
Absolutely. The giant eagles are being bred to be taking out the white man. White genocide is happening here in the United States.
Your 1776 will rise
will
again.
Will rise again.
Do and not you, take our guns, giant bird.
We need our guns to hunt these giant birds.
If you take my gun, how will I kill the giant eagle that you have released?
These giant eagles are everywhere.
Your false gods will not save you.
We have to have faith in God. We have to have faith in Christ.
Not the giant eagle
not
god.
The giant eagle gods. Those are the evil ones that we need to fend off.
With our guns.
With our guns. So arm up, America.
That's right.
With President Trump, we'll finally
kill all the
be able to kill
evil
all these
gods.
Eagles.
That's right.
This has been InfoWars signing off. This is Alex Jones.
I guess I'm also him.
This is Alex Jones and Alex Jones clone. This is Alex. This is me. This is Alex Jones and his Alex Jones clone signing off.
Gotta get to the chorus. Then I'll be able to. It might take a while.
So, how you guys doing?
How was the break?
Pretty good.
A break?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. We can dimmer down.
I actually.
What do you want, Ruben?
Sorry, no.
Jesus.
That song.
You're laughing. We don't know if the audience is laughing.
Okay.
They don't know what you're laughing at.
Okay, if you want to hear my stupid story about the song Holiday in Cambodia,
I'd love to hear it. You know why? Because it's the only Dead Kennedy song I know.
Oh, it's a great song. But, like, okay, so when I was in college, I was the president of the.
Cambodia.
No, I was the president of the improv troupe at Kent State. Mm-hmm. And so the guy who followed me. I won't say his name, but the guy who followed me, let's just say things got really political.
Followed you?
No, like as president. He was president.
Spiritually followed you.
And like the thing was that like there had previously been some political contention between us prior to that, and things got kind of messed up. But like he had ran on this claim that he was going to like make sure we had more shows and be more organized and get us out there. And then when he actually finally did get a chance to be president, he did he failed at all of those things horribly. And like my two friends who were still in college with him and were helping him, like I would come over and we'd get high in my one friend's room because they were all roommates, all three of them.
Okay.
And so like we would get high and we would we would play that song as loud as possible. And whenever we would say, "Paul, pot," we would be secretly talking about our other friend.
What?
And like
to yourselves though, in your own. Okay, wow, that's some stuff you were smoking there. If you were like really rebelling against someone that wasn't present.
Well, no, he was like literally in the other room on Skype.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
No, he would like.
Okay.
He didn't know we were. He did not know we were singing about him.
Gotcha.
But
gotcha.
We were.
I get it. Now I understand. See, I thought he was completely absent. I was like, why don't you guys just talk shit about him like regular people? I'm sure Aaron does. You never leave your home, so you just talk shit about people from the comfort of your home.
Yeah,
after this, he's going to talk about us.
Yeah, I'm going to go home. I'm going to turn on Twitch. I'm going to be like, you won't believe this podcast.
You won't believe the mess I was just in.
I hope that does happen.
The guy with the beard.
You talk shit about people, right? No, not really. Your Twitch stream is very very cash. Very kind. Anytime I've tuned in, I go, "What's up, Aaron?" You're like, "How's it going, man?"
So
really
genuinely
interested.
I don't the games that I play. I don't play because they're fun. I legitimately don't enjoy playing them.
No.
For the moment.
Oh no!
I play them to further other causes.
You should brand it as that.
I typically only play esports titles.
I understand.
Have you played Dai Katana for the N64?
Back in the day,
I recently collected every single first person shooter on the N64.
Oh
it was
my
like
God.
A small project that I set for myself, and it's probably the worst one.
It is
I think it's
by
been
far.
Like, I think it's been
it was
consensus.
John Romero, right?
Yeah, John
yeah,
Romero.
Yeah, he
Alpha
done
Romero.
Messed up.
No, it's awful.
Alpha Romero. Like, no, those are good. John Romero.
Oh, okay. I was confused.
Is it Alpha Romero? Is that a cigar?
Ray Romano.
Alpha Romero
like George,
is a car.
George Romero,
oh, okay.
Who made the one.
George Foreman.
George Romero, who makes who made the Living Dead movies.
Yes.
Is that who you're thinking of?
Okay. Alpha Romero.
Makes? Yeah, he's still around.
Yeah, no, he still makes them. He's still
what? I thought he was dead.
No.
Thought he was dead.
I got him.
The last one he made was ironically called Survival of the Dead.
Oh.
Okay. I mean, is it really ironically called that, or did he just run out of titles?
I don't know.
That involved
Dead for the Dead.
Well, like that... He
next, it'll be Podcasts of the Dead when these start getting popular.
We gotta
appeal to millennials.
Oh, I mean, man. he already did a found footage version.
Revolution of the Dead.
Oh, got him. Or what?
He did a found footage
Yeah, it was
one.
Called...
oh, Lord, I'm learning so many things.
It's like...
Welcome back to The Unbelievables, by the way, guys.
You don't have to say that every time.
I do.
Okay,
it's
sorry.
Like resetting.
Sorry.
I felt like that already happened. Did we not say that? Did you not say that before?
Ruben, no, I didn't.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be rude about it.
I accept your apology.
I had a deja vu moment. I apologize.
Did you? It might have been at the top of the show.
I didn't know you were French.
Welcome to.
We had a. It was the Mandela effect.
Yeah.
Oh. He's my favorite leader of South Africa.
That's who it's named after. It's not. That wasn't even that weird of a take, Johnny. You're trying to take it a weird direction. You went.
I'm always trying to.
Technically, totally in line. Technically, totally.
Dang
worked.
It.
Even though it is Mandela.
It is, yeah. I
slight different pronunciation, but you know, you put the emphasis on a different
syllable.
And you're good. You're good. Dad
yeah,
jokes. You can't even help it. I'm sorry. You have two children and it shit happens.
Boom, boom, boom.
Oh my God. Aaron's now banned from the podcast.
Get it. Well,
where's
actually,
the blacklist?
We don't ban people. We just kill them at the end of the show.
Oh, good.
This
sorry.
Actually happens to most guests, even if they're nice, but a few have slipped through. The people that come back.
We're on a top secret submarine, so
yeah,
can't
well,
really
that's
tell
why
anyone.
We take you out into the ocean, we submerge, and then we record.
Do you sometimes even know where you are right now? Do you even know?
Nobody knows.
Just guess.
But
just
it's
give a guess. Yes.
Just take a guess.
It is. Take a guess where you think you are.
What does it feel like?
What does this ocean kind of feel like?
What kind of longitudes and latitudes you getting?
I'm gonna go somewhere in Lake Superior, because why not?
No,
you got it,
not.
Johnny.
I mean, yes.
We have to.
It's definitely
spot on.
Are we around our neighbor Russia?
Of course
what?
Not.
Who's that?
That's what a ridiculous implication.
I don't even know how to spell Russia.
No. I don't even know what that is. Is that an island?
As long as we're not in the Pacific Ocean, I'm cool with it.
No.
What do you have against the Pacific Ocean?
Because we would definitely get cancer if we were in the Pacific Ocean right now.
What makes you think I don't want that?
What makes you think
I don't want you to have that?
Yeah, how do you know we're not trying to give you cancer?
What makes you think Aaron isn't here to administer cancer directly to you?
Bring out the cancer.
You know, yeah, he said he does Twitch streams. Wrong. He just injects cancer into people.
I make you Twitch by injecting you with cancer. that's all there is to it.
Well, if anyone's worried about the end of the world, it's already started. The Fukushima power plant has been pouring nuclear waste into the Pacific Ocean.
For like 10 years, right?
Yeah, since 2011.
Nice.
And so...
That's why I switched to fish. I only eat fish.
I only eat three-headed fish.
Make sure they're from the East Coast if you're going to eat fish.
Nope.
You're only going fish from Japan. You're going
I will
cancer.
Mutate. I will be stronger.
Yeah,
you make sure they're from fish farms, though, so it's sustainable, right?
Of course. I don't know.
Not all fish farms are sustainable.
I only eat lionfish because I like to go from the top of the food chain.
You know those are poisonous?
I only eat sea lions.
Why do you think I'm so strong? Do you remember that one part in Princess Bride where he says he eats iodine powder? That's basically me eating the lionfish. I will build an immunity, and then people will be like, eat this lionfish and you'll die. I'm like, ha-ha.
Hey, not a lot of people know that, but people try to assassinate people with lionfish all the time.
Name two.
Well...
That's right.
No.
Didn't think so.
I can name them. Alfred Hitchcock.
Okay.
He frequently tried to kill his stars.
Is that right?
Yeah. And then the ones that, you know, survived, he would be like, okay, you got the job.
What was the other one? JFK?
Nope. Big Bird.
Big Bird?
Wait, no, was Big Bird killed or was he killing with it?
Big Bird. Well, the man that lives inside of Big Bird, spoiler alert...
lives inside?
Has been dead for years. But... They send other people inside of the suit, and they go. They have to, you know, maneuver around the dead body that's inside Big Bird.
They can't get it out.
Oh. They can't get it out. But they can get in, and then they, you know, so they pay them big money.
I would
Big
pay
Bird big money.
You'd have to.
So
they have to be like super skinny to fit in there with another person.
Yeah, they're real thin. Yeah, they're usually.
But also strong because they have to maneuver an entire dead body.
Well, it's mostly mechanical, and it's mostly a skeleton now.
It's like one of the. It's like a high school basketball player that's like 6'8", and the enormous head.
Oh, I've seen it.
They look scary.
Big Bird would be the worst smelling puppet ever. Like, literally, you would
go down in history.
You would just come. You would just come on the set, and you'd be like, "What is that stench of death? What is? Oh, it's just Big Bird. It's just Big Bird. There's a
blood coming from his eyes.
There's a corpse trapped inside him. We can't get it out. Like."
Someone kill that bird.
That would make Sesame Street have officially become everything that has ever parodied Sesame Street.
Big Bird's got the bird flu. Oh.
So I will say, I worked at Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, God.
And the inside of that suit does smell slightly like death.
Oh,
did you have to wear that suit?
Oh, you're goddamn right I wore that suit. Oh, and I rocked the shit out of it.
Wait. Were you there at night and had to close with those animatronic things around?
Don't worry about it.
Of course I did.
Oh, God.
So what was that like? Was that fun? Was that a good time with all those scary monsters?
Did they ever come on when it was closed?
Oh, of course.
Oh my good God.
It was less power efficient to turn them off during the evening.
Oh.
And so they'd just go on and do their thing. You could turn the lights off, but the animatronics took a bit of power.
I want to know why that is. Why would it be less power efficient to turn them on? How much power does it take to turn them on?
I got nothing. That could have been some.
They're already alive.
Technician.
Maybe they were just there and on to scare away burglars. Because
done.
Hey, Chuck E. Cheese, huge burglary spot.
Yes.
Do you think Five Nights at Freddy's was created by someone who had your job
definitely.
At some point?
Yeah, definitely.
100%.
I have not seen that, so I'm so sorry.
It's a really overrated phone game. That's just my personal
opinion. It's several. It went from one, and then before it became popular, they made six or seven more.
It's a phone game.
Right, you'll probably know this. You ever played Night Trap or heard of Night Trap?
No.
It was a Sega CD /3DO game.
Okay.
That was made using like full motion video. And like the whole idea was that they filmed all these actors in these locations, and you're supposed to like interact with them and like trap these monsters before they can kill them.
All right.
And it was actually one of the games that got the ratings board started for video games, that and Mortal Kombat back in the 90s.
Yes.
But you should look this game up. It's awful.
What's it called again?
Night Trap.
Night Trap.
I have heard of this, Night
Trap.
Yeah,
I've heard of it, too.
But Five Nights at Freddy's is kind of like a cheaper version of that.
Yeah.
The Five Nights at Freddy's is it's supposed to be a phone game targeted towards kids that want to play like a scary game. Mm-hmm. And it's the concept that the animatronic animal things come alive and try to murder the night attendant.
Why do they need a night attendant?
There you go.
Exactly what I'm asking. Like, why is there a night attendant? Maybe it was just like it started off as the guy was like, well, the guy's closing and he's closing down the store, and then some game developer was like, no, it has to be something else. But I'll bet you he had your job.
I almost guarantee you he did.
Tell you the most horrifying one at night was Pasquale, the Italian mustachioed pizza maker.
I never stepped foot in one. So I don't
even
know.
Miss out.
I've seen it.
Did I miss out?
You did not.
Oh, okay.
You did not miss out on overpriced games, terrible pizza, and drunk parents.
I have a joke in my stand-up that I do about Chuck E. Cheese, which is that Chuck E. Cheese is just a casino for children.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That's totally right.
Yeah, it is.
Totally true.
That's so right. And then when those kids become obsessed with Chuck E. Cheese, they grow up and go to Dave and Buster's.
Nice.
And then they move on to the casinos.
And they go on.
And that's how they get you.
That's how they get you.
I notoriously hate that phrase, but that was used properly. Okay, it's usually people that go like, this muffin has like a ton of blueberries. This one had none. And then someone goes, yeah, that's how they get you. What does that even mean? That's not a thing.
They didn't sit there and go, all right, put less in this one.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, what's really messed up is a lot of our industries are all basically the major profits come from the fact that what we produce is addictive, and there's a small percentage of people who will become addictive users who will use that item. Like 80% of the profits in alcohol come from 10% of the people who buy alcohol.
Yep, I'm part of that 10%.
Got your Kamchatka with
you. You never drink!
But I'm still buying it.
I guess. It's a weird logic.
Yeah, I know. It's true.
All right. Wait, what's that?
Who?
I heard something.
You did?
Yeah, it sounded like the fluttering of birds.
It's...
Question. The carrier pigeons have arrived.
They're pecking at your eyes.
Oh, God. Oh, God, it's in my face.
Aaron, help me get this away from Ruben.
I don't know what
get
to do.
Get these fucking damn birds.
Is this avian flu?
I don't have a net.
It's trying to nest in my beard.
Good. That's what they're supposed to do. It's calm. Just let it happen. All right.
All right. We got rid of them. Everyone knows that the fanfare means that the carrier pigeons have arrived, and they have brought us questions from Lauren Michaels.
Lauren, not Lorne.
Yeah, not Lorne. We used to think they were coming from Lorne, and we thought we had this nice little connection with Lorne Michaels, the guy who began Saturday Night Live. But turns out, no. It's Lauren Michaels.
Your high school crush.
Not my high school crush. She had a crush on me.
Uh-huh.
And she's trying to reconnect. But we read her questions anyway because sometimes they're all right.
They're all right.
This question is for both of our guests. Do you know how to spell my name, you dumbass?
Oh, that's a pretty poignant question. It's a thinker. That's like an SAT question.
Let's go, assholes.
Okay.
You know how to spell my name?
Yes, I
dumbass?
Do. I do.
As in Lauren Michaels' name?
No.
She didn't ask us to spell the name. She asked us if we knew how to spell
it. Do you know how to spell
it? Yes.
That's fair.
Do you know how?
Yeah. Yeah, of course we do.
I don't need to justify this with the follow-up.
All right. Very good.
That's the correct answer.
Very good. Yes.
Good on you.
The second question.
I'm with him.
How good at spelling would you say you guys are? And you don't have to spell to prove it. You just have to tell me how good you are.
There are literally several everyday words that every time I try to spell them, I fuck them up terribly.
Is one of them pieces?
Scissors.
No, one of them is necessarily.
Necessarily. Yes.
I fucking hate that word.
The only way I can spell that word correctly is by saying out loud to myself as I write it, necessarily.
Necessarily.
Not necklace.
Or necessary. Necessary for that matter, too. Just fuck it up every time.
Necessary, yes.
If it wasn't for phones.
Nick Cage-larily.
If it wasn't for phones, fixing shit.
I totally agree.
Half the time my phone does not recognize when I've tried to spell the word necessarily, too. Like, it'll be like, I don't know what that word
is. It's like, your guess is as good as mine, man.
You know what I'm
trying
to spell.
So far off that I can't even piece this together.
Stupid millennials.
Peace, another one. Peace. Millennials. Receive. Yeah, I can't spell that either. And then it's like, you are one.
Receive, the only time the I before E, except after C bullshit, ever has any sort of effect.
I don't know why they even teach you that in school. What's the point of that?
To prove to you that the English language is dumb.
Yeah, I guess.
You know what drives... I studied the phonetic alphabet in college because it's part of learning voice.
Oh, yeah.
Phonetics is fun. The thing that drives me insane about the phonetic alphabet is it literally the only words we spell phonetically are foreign words. Like, English words are not phonetically spelled.
That's because English...
None?
Okay, like...
What about
okay.
the That's word...
That's because English is largely French.
People.
Obviously, okay, phonetically
like,
spelled.
Here's, like, the best example. In phonetic alphabet, AI is... I. And like if you look at Japanese words, we always spell them like that. But like as an example, the author Neil Gaiman.
Mm-hmm.
It's pronounced Neil Gaiman, but it's spelled Neil Gaiman.
Is it really spelled with an I E I A?
Yes.
Wow.
And then like EI is technically eh or eh, but lots of people pronounce it I all the time, even though it's not. And German, especially German words, because German is not phonetic at all. German words are always non-phonetic. It fucking pisses me off.
Whoa, man. We dug into something wrong.
Is it because you tried studying German and then went, fuck this?
No, it was mainly because I'd spent all this time learning how to correctly pronounce these things, and then like I started finding German words, and I was like, what the fuck?
I like when I discover words that we don't have English words for.
Backpfeifengeist.
Oh. What is that?
Backpfeifengeist is a German... I'm pronouncing it probably horribly, by for the way. Schnitzel. But no. For schnitzel. Is a face that is in bad need of a palm.
So oh,
literally,
nice.
Like a
so
face that
Sean
needs
Spicer would have Backpfeifengeist.
Yes.
Correct. Wait, say it again.
Backpfeifengeist.
Backpfeifengeist. I like that one.
Or Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude's another one.
Schadenfreude is where we don't have an English word. We have like phrases or simple words like fiance.
Ooh.
Like, oh, no, that's lie. Betrothed.
Yeah, we do.
Betrothed.
Is,
I just answered. Well, I guess that's the end of the
show.
You lose. I fucked myself
up. You lose.
We're done here.
You're intended.
No, that's interesting because I've been learning Japanese for the past year, and that's an easy language to start learning because everything is the same across the board. Like,
do
you
they
learn
have...
the 52 hiragana and katakana, and you can basically pronounce anything so long as it's written that way, and then you just spend the rest of your life learning kanji.
Dude.
Because kanji.
Do you watch anime?
Maybe.
Are we about to delve into this?
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
We're a little late in the show to be delving into something that deep. I know that rabbit hole.
I know that look in your eye.
I know that rabbit hole and where it leads.
Those sparkle.
We do have one last section on the show.
Oh, okay. What's it called? I was sorry.
I ain't going to tell you.
Okay, well.
I'm going to stare at you as I go press
the button.
You're
not staring at me. Nice.
Real nice.
What time is it?
We're about to hear.
Okay.
I'm going to make a guess. Shrimp time?
No. It's time for plugs.
It's plugs time. Oops.
Sorry. We looked up nothing.
Now's your chance.
Go quick.
This song has like 10 more seconds.
Come on. Go.
I gotta look up my own dates. Anime conversation that will not take place.
That literally, I was holding back the urge to just start singing soulfully into the microphone.
I could smell it. I could smell the anime conversation
coming
up.
No, screw the anime. I just wanted to sing.
Just wanted to sing?
That's all he ever wanted.
Hey, this is your opportunity.
I just wanted to sing.
Let's play some music. Here we go. It's sing
all
for
right,
us.
Sing to this.
This is the sing. No, we're not going to make you do that. We're letting Ruben look up his info on everything. In the meantime, Aaron, tell us about your Twitch stream and where people can watch it.
So you can watch me. I stream 9:30 to usually around 1 in the morning Eastern time.
Dang.
That's a solid block to fill time with.
Monday through Friday. Sometimes Saturday or Sunday, I do need to sleep every once in a while. but that's twitch.tv/lucid_streams. That second one will throw you off. And it's the same on beam.pro /lucid_streams.
Got it. So like tonight,
same Twitter too.
Yeah. Whoa. Follow on Twitter and then you
I don't have the book of faces. So
The Book of Faces.
I'm done with it. It's gone.
I don't know.
I can't entirely blame
you. Fache.
I can't entirely blame you. I can't.
So, and you've been doing games that you said are like e-sports based.
Correct. Cool. Correct. So,
do you have any desire in getting into like commentating?
Yes. That's actually why I did this. So, I started streaming Dota 2, which is a miserable game to try and learn, but I really just wanted to do the commentary for it. Decided it was awful to rely on other people on your team that are insolent. Okay. So, I said, what do I not have to do that with? Fighting games, one-on-one. I got this. Let's do that. So having not really played fighting games before, I've spent the past 2 years learning them. I've built 2 arcade sticks now.
So now you're deep into it.
I'm awful at them still.
My experience with fighting games was never playing them except for like Soul Calibur 2 and Super Smash Bros.
Everybody
growing up as a kid.
Soul Calibur.
Yes.
Soul Calibur's dope.
So much fun. But I was never like an arcade guy. And then when I got into high school, I bought an Xbox and I was like, I'm going to start playing games. I'm going to be a gamer. And I bought Street Fighter 4.
I'm
going to
be a gamer.
Yeah.
He said as he stuck his thumbs into his armpit.
As I pulled up my overalls and I smiled into the sky.
Pushed my glasses into my face.
And I just skipped into a GameStop.
Oh, God.
But I
Funko Land. You millennial, you.
I bought Street Fighter 4, and I adored it. And now I don't play games much. But I loved Street Fighter for a long, long, long time. Got really into fighting games. And where was I going with this goddamn story?
You're saying you wanted to give me like $5?
Oh, yeah, here you go.
Definitely.
Here you are.
Oh, this is $4.
Sorry about that. That's all I got.
Okay.
My bad.
That'll do.
I'll get you 20 later.
Thanks.
What? All right, cool. Any other plugs for us?
No, I got
check out the stream.
No, yeah, check it out. Beam.pro is interactive, so I've got a bunch of stupid crap on there that you can do. Like, you can make me play Ocarina for you.
Ooh. That's cool. Yeah. So it's like, here, we hit the bell, so you have to play a song.
Yeah, so...
Dance, monkey.
And the sound clip that plays is, hey, listen.
Oh no. Well, now people are going to start trolling it. I encourage every one of our listeners to check out the stream and please hit the button.
I have one guy, every time the 5-minute cooldown is up, he pops into stream, and I'm like, God damn it, Toe, you're here. All right, I'll play Ocarina for you.
It's good to have like loyal guys that show up like that. That's great.
That's cool.
That's what makes it, man.
It is because the game sucks. So.
You need those loyal people.
Can't enjoy the game itself. You got to have a good time.
They're for the conversation.
So Ruben has written everything onto his hand.
Most of the things on my
instead head. Of scrolling through his phone.
The thing is, they're all on different pages.
It just says Satan on your hand.
Yeah, that's something else. Something 666
carved into your arm.
Something else, guys. Jeez.
Okay. All right, we won't ask.
Okay. I'm not gonna ask.
Birthmark.
Okay, so I'm basically doing shit all the time.
Don't do shit. Do entertainment.
Okay, I do. Okay, thank you.
Nice.
I deserve that.
Nice. Okay. High five.
All right. May 6th, I will be doing a Point of No Return show in Cuyahoga Falls.
Great.
Coincidentally, at that same time, there will also be a Dada show I will not be attending.
Okay.
But I will also be, however, I will be playing with Dada, or at least I plan to be, on May the 13th and May the 20th.
Quick question about the Point of No Return show.
Yes.
Is that a monthly show?
It is. We typically have 2 shows a month, but in May we only have 1.
Okay.
Typically, it's the first and third Saturdays of the month.
So fret not, listeners. If you miss a show, look it up. For another one in the future.
Yes, pnrimprov.org has our schedule. Also, I'm not sure if you can find it on our Facebook or not. But let's see here. May 10th, which is a Wednesday, I will actually be performing in the Funny Stop Amateur Night.
Excellent.
Doing some stand-up there, which was that was a random thing, too. Like, just I got a message on Facebook by a guy who's been to the pressure cooker. He's like, hey, I remember from the pressure cooker. You want to do this? And I was like, sure.
Great.
So that should be fun.
It's good that show in particular cultivates people that haven't been there in a bit, mm-hmm. and it also encourages the people that are hosting to find people that haven't come mm-hmm. yet. So it's great because you get to meet new people that are going to perform there that night. I met so many. A lot of them became guests on the show.
Nice.
So it's good that Pete does that show. So Pete from the Funny Stop, shout out to you. You're not going to listen to this show because you're an old man.
Oh, got him.
And burned then, him. I actually have, for just Go With It, I actually have our complete season here, or at least the season so far.
Okay.
We might book some other things, but we'll be performing at Gilly's June 22nd, August 31st, October 12th, and December 7th.
Get out your goddamn calendars.
Yeah, if you want to see some, if you want to see some long form improv, and also we normally bring in some stand ups also for that.
Nice.
Incidentally, I don't know if any of you would like to come do a
I love long form. Mm-hmm. I listened to the podcast Spontanea Nation with Paul F. Tompkins, and I actually flew out to L.A. to watch a live version because he's my favorite comic, and I love his show. So I do love some long form. So
I like him on BoJack Horseman.
He's excellent.
Would you lick his feet?
Never. I would never lick anyone's feet. That's gross.
I'm glad you have. Yeah. I'm glad you have.
I have boundaries.
Yeah, that's nice.
I mean, he's asked.
You gotta have.
He's called me up.
Whoa.
He said, "Hey, Mike, I saw you in the audience.
He called you Mike.
I smiled and winked at you.
Oh, wait.
I didn't want you to think that was anything weird. Okay. I just want you to lick my feet.
And you said?
I said, Paul.
I love you.
Nice to hear you.
Yeah.
Nice to hear from you. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
I'm a little busy right now. Kay. And fuck no, I'm not gonna do that.
Whoa.
And then he was like, Mike.
I respect that. Yeah. Okay. Wow. I love that. That's why he's good.
He's a good friend.
That's why he's good.
Can I take a quick second? Just
please
do something I normally always forget to do, which is to plug my social media access.
Go for it.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Son of Hippies.
Is this a character you're doing right now?
No.
My
voice just goes all over the fucking place.
That's great.
I have no.
We like it. We like a spectrum of voices.
But yes, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Son of Hippies. I have a Facebook page, Ruben R. I don't understand how Facebook's pages work, but it's at Ruben R. Ryan.
I don't get them either.
And also, I do have a YouTube channel where you can see all my really weird shit that I don't really show people. My channel is called I Am Improv with I.A.M. and then improv.
Okay, cool.
Where you can see weird shit like my character 8-Ball, who is insane.
Oh,
I don't.
We would love to meet him someday.
Yes.
Okay, that'd be cool.
I would love to meet 8-Ball.
On a podcast, you'll lose a certain amount of the effect because half the thing is that his face is a bandana.
I was afraid that you were about to say his face is removed.
No, no,
will be removed.
No,
he wears a bandana as like a mask or face, and basically his whole thing is that he's insane and he wants to torture his roommate Brian.
I love it. And I would love to meet him someday.
Okay, well maybe I'll bring him by sometime.
That would be great.
Okay.
Oh man.
Any other plugs? Social medias in there?
I think I covered it all there.
Got your dates?
I got Point of Return, Dada, Just Go With It. I'm doing that stand-up show on May the 10th, I think.
Keeping busy. That's good.
Yeah, no, I honestly, I'm super psyched to be on this podcast, to be completely honest.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Well, thank you.
You're making Mike blush.
Yeah.
No, like, I'm serious a little bit, because like, I've spent a lot of my life doing comedy, and my life sort of that took a back seat for a while, and my life got totally derailed, and now it starts to feel like things are kind of coming around, and people are starting to talk to me, and starting to notice
people
me.
People are starting to talk to me. That's all we want, except Aaron. Aaron wants to avoid that at all times.
Thank you so much for
You're
having
very
me.
Welcome, of course. Speaking of social medias, you can try and follow Johnny on social media, but you won't.
You can't.
Because he won't be there.
Nope.
You try to search for Johnny Trowbridge on Twitter, that ain't going to be him.
Bob Kiss is my name.
That's his handle. Follow Bob Kiss. Find Bob Kiss on Twitter.
Say, hey, are you Johnny? And then don't say anything else.
Say, hey. I loved you on that show.
I'm doing it right now.
And
say, oh, hey, do you lick P.F. Tompkins' feet? And then just say nothing else.
Yes. Go to Bob Kiss on Twitter. I'm encouraging all the listeners. You hear me? Everyone
Bob
in Vancouver.
Kiss.
Everyone in Japan. We've got a multitude of Japanese listeners.
We should have talked about anime.
Oh, no.
Dang it.
We're going to lose them.
We're so close.
Find Bob Kiss and say.
Here you go, guys.
That's him.
Got a picture of him.
Well, that's
say, Bob's do you guess. Lick
That was me
PFT's
like 2 years
feet.
Ago.
Wait, that's really you?
Yeah.
You look dramatically different in
that
picture.
I know. I had surgery.
I can't believe you flew in from Sao Carlos.
Like,
well, that's impressive.
In a sub, so you don't fly. But
instead of having a social media presence, Johnny just works on projects on the sub.
That's
making
right.
it a little better, sometimes making us some money, usually not. But what are you working on this week?
Well, I actually started a new thing.
Okay.
It's the documentary. Good. And by documentary, I mean it's me just doing things. So
you're documenting it?
Yes.
In like then, written form or film?
No, just these.
You're just going to tell us now.
Yeah, a few seconds.
Now it is the
of
documentation.
Me telling you right now.
I get it.
So it's not really a documentary at all. I basically look into different phrases and then just see if there's any like clout to it.
So you, what kind of phrase? Like,
well, I'll tell you. Well, my first one. I'll tell you. For example, the first one I went to is dumpster fires, and everyone says dumpster fires are terrible, so I went to go check out if dumpster fires they are.
So you did a review of dumpster fires.
They smell bad and they're on fire. So yeah, pretty bad.
Hey, I never would have known.
Yeah, you know what? That's what I was thinking. I'm just taking it for granted that a dumpster fire is bad.
Right. I mean, I never knew whether it was good or bad. People would say that, and I go, is that a good thing?
Are you saying you like it?
And I would just laugh, and they'd be like, why is he laughing?
Why is he laughing? Dumpster fires are terrible. A plight. And then I was like, oh, I want to find out.
Thank God for you.
Yeah. I actually pushed someone into one. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably a good idea.
They deserved it. So. Oh,
then that's completely understandable.
Yeah.
Who was it?
I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but Nelson Mandela.
Not ringing any bells.
Yeah, neither me.
Well, I mean, he's not going to be missed.
Whoa.
That's good. All right. Well,
even I'm offended, and I killed him.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, please follow us on Twitter, as in The Unbelievables. It's Unbelievables Podcast on Twitter, but the handle is at T Unbelievables, and I'm not going to explain why. If you want to know that story, go all the way back to episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Call it all the way to 42.
I probably explain it. And then, I encourage everyone to listen to our backlog of
do it.
Archives.
You won't do it.
You won't, bitch. Oh, I'm sorry.
Ooh,
I'm so sorry, guys.
Be nice.
Please come back.
Be nice.
You can follow me on Twitter at @Mike_Calhoun. Don't spell out the word underscore. That's ridiculous. I've been saying more jokes on there. Usually I just post about...
soccer.
Soccer.
Yes.
And I do say a lot of things about soccer on
Twitter. Confirmed.
You can follow me on Twitter and see some jokes that I won't say on stage because I'm afraid to do that because I think that's a weird thing, a weird practice. But anyway, speaking of stand-up, I'll be opening for Bill Squire.
Ooh.
Oh.
On May 13th. That's a Saturday.
May 13th.
Yeah. If you want to know the address, if you're in the Northeast Ohio area, specifically Akron.
We don't know where that is.
Where the show is taking place. You got to get in contact with me, and I will tell you the address. Because it's a private show in a basement of Sean Ast, host of the Lousy Weather Main Show. Part of the network.
That was a Vuvuzela, by the way.
That was a Vuvuzela? I thought it was just going to be like a ham horn.
That was not a bad air horn.
Thank you.
I went to air horn school.
I'm impressed.
You didn't graduate.
It's in Maine.
It's in Maine?
Yeah.
Along with Stephen King, who also attended air horn school.
Oh, I love
and
that.
And then he dropped out. And then he wrote a bunch of books. So, good story?
That's a good story.
Success.
Basically, I'm Stephen King.
I'll be roasting some people this weekend, as in May 6th. So if you're not at Ruben's show...
We've been talking a lot about killing people. Are you going to actually be roasting them, or is this a comedy
classic
thing?
Classic joke.
Oh, yes, he will be.
I will be doing both.
Excellent.
It'll be a post-roast roast. Roast.
They're actually roasting a cannibal, so it's like it's a combined
It's very
thing.
Meta.
That's very, very meta. I like it.
but our show will take place at 10:30. When's your show?
The Cuyahoga Falls will be at 7:30.
So please attend both.
At the Quirk Cultural Center in Cuyahoga Falls.
Please come to both. Ours will be at the East End Bistro in Lakewood. I'll be roasting Kyle Honhorst. And I'll tell you what, guys, I'll give you a little secret. I haven't written a single joke about this gentleman. And it's happening this weekend. I don't even know him.
Dude.
Wow.
I Facebook know him.
Dude, you should have mentioned that earlier. We would have helped you write jokes.
Oh, man. What am I doing?
What are
time.
You doing?
I wasted all that time.
You're wasting time.
And then on May 20th, the Sad Boy Social Club. My sketch group. It's not mine. I didn't organize it. How rude of me to say such a thing.
Just say it again.
My sketch group. Mike Calhoun. You know, Mike and the Hoon Hounds.
The Hoon Dogs.
The Hoon Hounds is my sketch group, and we'll be performing at Michelle's in Kent.
Oh, nice.
On May 20th, and that's going to be the last show at Michelle's. Single tier. and then we'll be moving to a new venue that is at an undisclosed location. Maybe it's on this submarine. Maybe we will never perform for any public audience. I hope not. That sounds sad. That sounds like Aaron.
Oh, it does sound a little
bit. I feel like I'm just burning you. That's just rude. Shots fired.
I
love
it. By the way, this is a roast of Lucid Streams tonight.
Hey, you're getting a lot of good publicity. Any publicity is good publicity.
Does anyone ever like troll you by just saying, why don't you play good games?
Oh.
Does anyone ever like harass you to play good video games?
Because then I'm like, well, what do you think is a good game? And they're like, Skyrim.
Final Fantasy 1.
I already did that, bro. I saw you marathon most of the Final Fantasies. That was a thrilling adventure.
I got up to 4, and then I
That's
tried.
That's so many hours, though.
God. Because I was playing on emulator, and you can 10 times speed it.
Even so.
Yeah, even so.
That's still a lot of...
I'm trying to...
My computer sucks, though, so I can't play like anything modern on it, because they're all console ports, and we won't get into that.
I'm trying to think of something really...
The salt is real.
I can taste it. It's in the air.
I'm trying to think of like a really awful game you could play in my head. I'm just trying to think of something.
Oh God, there's
well, everyone. I encourage
Fighter
the listeners.
I play it every night.
Well, the listeners should find Aaron on Twitter and suggest those horrible games to him.
Please do.
Sounds like a great idea.
Thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for joining me, my guests, Ruben and Aaron. It was a lot of fun.
Our pleasure.
To be here.
We'll talk to you guys next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Yes, minasai.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.